Isn't the Lord good to us today? Oh, hallelujah. Every time my wife and I come here, we just marvel. We see the improvements and the facilities and new people and the growth of folks that have been here before. And it's just a marvelous thing. You've got some tremendous leadership in the Greeleys and the Dykes. Let's give them a hand today. Amen. They are awesome people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're just so thankful. When they felt the hand of the Lord, the direction to come here, it's one of those things where I say, I want you to do the Lord's will, but I don't like it one bit. We want you to stay right here in Bristol. But we come here and we're just so excited just to see you and to see everything that's going on. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at one scripture before you're seated. I want to talk today for a few moments, at least at the beginning, about it's time to believe what you believe. Everybody say that with me. It's time to believe what you believe. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. Everybody say all things. All things. Let's lift our hands again and just thank him before you're seated. Lord, we love you today. We're so thankful for your word. Thank you for what you've already done here today, what you did this weekend. And Lord, we're just going to continue to give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. There is a difference between knowing something is safe and believing something is safe. For example, I got a couple pictures here I want to show you. This first picture was taken on a cruise ship, the Anthem of the Seas. And my wife and I were on the 13th floor of this vessel, and there are elevators on either side, but we had to access this via the stairs. And I'm so proud of my wife. She conquered her fear and actually stepped onto the glass platform. And you can look all the way down. And it was a tremendous thing for her to do, to step out there. And in order for her to step out, we had to talk about how thick the glass was and how strong the steel frame was around the floor and the fact that thousands of people had walked on that floor with no problems, at least none that we'd heard of, and it was safe. And finally, amen, she was getting more convinced, but in order for her to get out there, she had to not just know the facts, she had to believe the facts. And once she believed it, then she could step out and make her way to the center and turn and smile for the camera. She was able to conquer her fear because she believed it was safe. Everybody said she believed. Now this second picture, it's going to take me a while to get her to believe that this is safe. Amen. This is in the Grand Canyon. Amen. And they've got this thing awesome when you can look down and see how far up you are. And it's tremendous. It's going to take her a while before she believes that. Amen. And then the third picture was taken in Chiang Mai, Thailand. And this was at the Tiger Kingdom in Chiang Mai, Thailand. The tiger on the right is a female and the one on the left is her little brother. And they're real, fully conscious, completely healthy, flesh-eating tigers. And when we got into the enclosure, the guy said, you know, we don't want you to rush, but just remember, you can take all the time you want, but it's lunchtime. So just remember that while we're in there. Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. And so we walked in there. We went down this corridor and there's real thick chain link fence all around us. And the tigers are over there. And we came and they had a 4x4 door and they lifted that up and we kind of went down in there and got underneath it and they put it down. And there were three guys with me. One guy had a camera and he took these pictures, and another guy had a long pole with a stuffed animal at the end, and he was going to kind of distract the tigers, and the third guy had a little club, and I said, I think I know what that club is, and they said, what, if the tiger gets mad, you're going to knock me to the ground, and then you're going to run, and They said, yeah, we got a smart American here. Yeah. So, but before we ever stepped into this cage, amen, we had to go through a thorough information process. They showed hundreds of pictures of people from all over the world that had done exactly what I was going to do. And I sat and watched a video of these two tigers growing up from a cub to present day. And I'm telling you, they're full of muscle. I'm telling you, they're the real McCoy. And I sat and watched that video, and then I signed various papers, including waivers of liability, and they explained to me in detail what we were going to do. And amen. Why all of that? Because they knew in order for me to actually step into that cage with these two beauties, I had to move from knowing it's safe to believing it was safe. Amen. My brother and sister-in-law are over in Thailand, and I said, are you coming with me? He goes, oh no, I've been there. You're on your own, brother. It was the smile on his face that kind of unnerved me a little bit. Amen. But I had to believe it was safe, and it was, and we had a tremendous time. Amen. Now, a couple weeks ago when we were here, the first, we talked about the power of your testimony and how it opens up doors to witness to people and home Bible studies. And then Wednesday we talked the power of the precious word of God. Amen. And you don't have to be a professor or a teacher or whatever to do it, because you got in your hand the weapon, the sword of the spirit, and God can do some great things. Hallelujah. Amen. But today, amen, we want to talk about, amen, the thing that impacts, the thing that gets it all going, and that's the power. It's time to believe what we believe. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John Hagee in one of his books said, faith starts out before you know how it's going to turn out. Amen. And we've got to step out in faith. Believe what you believe. Amen. We've already talked about, I've given you materials so that you'll know that your story and the word of God combined together is effective and will work. Amen. The only thing left is that we believe that it can happen. Hallelujah. When you walk into that class or when you walk into that Bible study and you've got the word of God there, there's something on the inside that says, amen. Amen. I'm just not going through the motions. Hallelujah. I don't have to convince anybody on my own. I've got a name that's above every name. I've got a spirit that empowers me. I've got the word of God that's forever ever settled in heaven. I've got the promises of God. I believe something's going to happen in this Bible study today. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus promised the young father. With a son who was troubled in Mark 9, he said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. He didn't say, if you know the truth, all things are possible. He said, if you believe, then all things are possible. There's a difference between knowing the truth and believing the truth. When you believe, you're propelled to action. Amen. You're forced to think differently and live differently and respond differently in adversity. Why? Because we believe the word of God is true, and we believe what Jesus has said is all things are possible. And so we act upon that thing. Praise the Lord. All things become possible. Believing is knowing what God and his word declares and then acting on it. When Jesus gave the promise to those who believe, he was referring to people with a specific mindset. One who constantly believes, amen, the mindset of one who reaches out to grab hold of what God has promised. Praise the Lord. Amen. Rick Renner said in one of his books, one whose faith is habitually and constantly and consistently and unwaveringly and straining forward to take what God has set for before him. Hallelujah. I'm not just going to ask one time, and if it doesn't, no, I'm going to strive. I'm going to press towards the mark. I believe it's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen, and so I'm going to do it. I love what the old-time preacher, amen, said, Smith Wigglesworth. He's a preacher, man of faith. He said, I'm not moved by what I see, and I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe. Hallelujah. How many believe the Holy Ghost is for you today? How many believe God's got something to do here today? Oh, let's all praise Him. Let's all give Him glory. Lord, I believe today. I believe You're going to do something. Amen. Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must what? Believe that He is. And then believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. Amen. To believe is to come to a place where the words of the Bible become more than just words in a book, but becomes what it truly is, the living Word of God. Amen. To believe is coming to a place where your faith becomes entwined with the anticipation that the Word of God will come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We can talk about, amen, the power of our testimony. We can talk about the power of the Word. We can talk about the power of prayer. Amen. And know all the Scriptures, but it's only when we believe that we'll stand up and say, Lord, use me. Lord, I'm stepping forward. Lord, I'm going to let You do what only You can do. I want to be that vessel. Hallelujah. I love what the Bible says in James about Abraham. Abraham understood that believing required action. It says in verse 14 of James chapter 2, but what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and doesn't have works? Can faith save him? Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son on the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? Everybody say would. With his works and by his works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What an awesome testimony. The action of believing is the spark that ignites the impossible and causes it to be possible. Hallelujah. When a person believes, when his faith is activated, when it sets in motion supernatural power that enables you and I to do what we normally couldn't do on our own. Amen. That's the power of believing. And we can go on. Jesus talks about it in Mark 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. In Mark 16, he says in verse 17, these signs will follow those who believe. They'll cast out demons, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These are the results when people believe in God and step out in faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is not a new message. You've heard this before. Most of us know this message and deep down we believe it. But I'm sorry, we've been in too many churches. It's so easy to have an excuse. It's so easy to have a reason why it's not going to work for me. It's easy to settle for the excuses. I prayed about this and nothing happened, or I don't have the skills or the knowledge or the ability to do it. And all the while there's an awesome living God that is saying, I want to bless you. Amen. I want to give you the ability to do it. Hallelujah. I want to use you beyond your wildest dreams. Just step out and do something. Hallelujah. Just step out and believe and I will do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God cannot, it's against His nature. He cannot and He will not bless inactivity. When you're doing nothing, you are guaranteed to get nothing. And if you look at the book of Acts, the Word of God, when the church was started, the Bible says that God added to the church, but it wasn't too long before it was multiplied. For example, Acts 6:7, then the word of God spread. the number of the disciples multiplied. Great. Everybody say multiply. Acts 12:24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. The word grew and multiplied. Hallelujah. And yet this never happens when there's inactivity. Amen. How many, anybody enjoy math? Anybody? Okay, good. We got some guys that are good. Some of you are twitching when I just said the word math. Math. Oh. But it, if you look at a rule of multiplication, when you look at this fourth slide, a rule of multiplication is that a number multiplied by zero is always what? Zero. Five times zero is zero. 50 times zero is zero. 500 times zero is zero. Amen. I used to, as I was pastor, I'd be talking to some of the volunteers and I'd say, you're doing such a great job. I'm going to triple your pay. And they'd say, well, I'm not getting anything. Well, then I'll quadruple your pay then. Because it doesn't matter how many times, if it's always zero. You see, the same is true in the kingdom of God. In fact, much is left undone and accomplished because we never try. Hallelujah. But how many know our God is a God of infinite activity? Hallelujah. Amen. His word caused the world to explode into life and color. Creation had no choice but to move to accomplish his command. Amen. He's the God of might and miracles, the God of grace and glory, the God of power and patience. He breathed life into the dead womb of Sarah so she could produce the promised son, Isaac. He held the sun in place for Joshua so the Israel army can win a battle. Amen. He muzzled the lion's mouth for Daniel and walked into the fiery furnace to be with the three Hebrew young men. All because people were willing to step up and say, I believe. Hallelujah. I believe God's going to do it. Hallelujah. And then he came to earth. Amen. Healed the sick and the deaf and the blind. Healed blood diseases and leprosy. Amen. Paralytics with nerve disorders even brought the dead back to life. I'm here to tell somebody today, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This means that the same miracles he did along the Sea of Galilee, hallelujah, he's doing it and he will do it again today. Hallelujah. And he wants to do it. We don't have to beg him. We don't have to plead. He wants to do it. He's looking for somebody to say, I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. More than anyone, he wants you to succeed. He's talked about pouring out blessings. It's almost as if he's on the edge of heaven. And he's got the angels lined up with barrels of blessings and just waiting to pour it out. Hallelujah. Just longing, hallelujah, to deluge anyone who steps out in faith. He's waiting for someone this morning here, hallelujah, to step out, to reach out. Say, I'm going to put my belief into action. I'm going to teach a Bible study. I'm going to host a prayer group. I'm going to invite someone to church. I'm going to get on the text. And my thumbs are too fat to do on that text club. You'll kick me out of here in just a short time. But there's somebody here that can join that text group and believe that God's going to do something with it. I'm going to welcome a new neighbor with baked goods. I'm going to hand out flyers in the park. I'm going to organize a prayer walk in my neighborhood. I'm going to pray with someone in the altar or in the store or at work. Hallelujah. Just do something, anything. The feeblest efforts results in tremendous blessings. It's all a matter of, it's time to believe what I believe. Oh, let's lift our hands again to God. Would you do that? I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to switch just a little bit here because it's so important that we get out and talk to people, but it's also so important that we believe that God can do, and miracles in our home, in our family. Amen. Brother Dyke read a message or a scripture that I'm going to believe. Brother Greeley, Sister Greeley, they were preaching my message today. That's awesome what God is doing. Amen. But in a few minutes, we're going to tell you more about my folks and my wife's folks. But my dad, he grew up in a preacher's home. His dad was, my grandfather was assistant pastor to Brother Stanley, who started the church at Heritage in 1945. And when he got in the Army in Korea, he backslid, came home, married my mom. She was Episcopalian, very faithful, went to church every Christmas, every Easter, and had a rough life and rough home life. And so my dad prayed back through one night. I don't have time to tell you the story, but tremendous, tremendous refilling of the Holy Ghost and a commitment. And I was 9 when I got the Holy Ghost. My mom, I was 11 when my mom got the Holy Ghost. My dad was a soul winner. Him and my mom would teach Bible studies, and he was always witnessing. I'd hear him praying early in the morning before he went to work. Lord, open doors today that I new departure. And Judy Singleton, who was in Enfield for many years, was saved because of my dad. And at my dad's funeral, I had, 5, 6, 7 people come up to me, tears in their eyes, and say, "Your dad's the reason I'm alive today. Your dad's the reason that I'm a Christian today." He'd get a phone call from somebody at 2 a.m. The bar had closed, and this guy was just despondent. My dad would get up and go and meet him and pray with him and share a few scriptures and get home for another hour of sleep, maybe 2 hours, and get up and go to work, and did that. And today that guy's filled with the Holy Ghost and doing what God wants him to do. It's just a tremendous thing. But in spite of all of that, he had 5 kids, and he made sure that he instilled in us the principles of God's word. You see, he never let down. I can never understand preachers, or male or female, individuals that said, if I wasn't married, or only if I didn't have any kids, I can really do something for God. You've missed it. You've totally missed it. Amen. You know what's going on there? Zero. You can talk about everything you're doing, but it equals zero. God, I saw these kids today, and God, amen, has given us a tremendous power and a responsibility to pass the truth. Notice Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all thy soul and with all thy might. And the words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." It starts with us, you see. "And then thou shalt teach your children, them unto thy children. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in the house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up," and on and on and on. He's going on in that chapter. What's he saying here? He's saying, I'm putting within your hands, I'm putting within your household an awesome, awesome opportunity, amen, to demonstrate to the world, I believe, hallelujah, I believe God's word is true. Not just for the neighbor across the street, not just for those overseas, but God's word is true and is effective and is powerful in my home, hallelujah. And I'm going to do everything I can to let everybody know, I believe, hallelujah, I believe, praise the Lord, hallelujah. What an honor it is to teach our children. We're living in a time, a day and age when voices are competing for the hearts and minds of our children. But in spite of the onslaught of influences, whether it's schools or culture or media or peers, God's chosen one primary voice to shape a child's life, and that is of the parent, of dad and mom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I heard one amen, I think, but it's true. He never intended the home to be a spiritually silent. He designed it to be the first classroom, the first place where truth is learned. The question is not whether our children are being taught. Instead, the question is who is teaching them and what they are teaching them. Hallelujah. But I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. Brother Greeley, you're building a church of faithful people that believe. Hallelujah. I'm not dropping my kids off. I'm bringing them. Hallelujah. I'm not dependent on the pastor. I'm not dependent on the Sunday school. I'm not dependent upon the elders alone, but they're going to hear it from me. They're going to know there is a God because I worship Him and I praise Him. Every morning my dad would get up. He worked at New Departure, and so I picture it to this day. He'd pray, and then he'd get to the little dining room area we had, and he'd have a bowl of cornflakes, and he'd have a couple pieces of toast with butter, real butter and jelly, and he'd have his coffee, and he'd have the paper over here, Hartford Current. He had read the Waterbury Republican, and so it was quick. He'd look and see that the Red Sox lost again, and he'd put that down, and he'd open up the Bible and he'd begin to read that while he ate his cornflakes and he had the toast and he had, the coffee. And over the years it was the same. You know, now they told him that there's too much salt in the cornflakes, so he had to eat something else, and he couldn't have whole milk. He had to have something else. And so he'd mutter something under his breath, but he would do that. And you couldn't have the whole butter anymore. So he had to have, I can't believe it's not butter, you know, and he'd mutter under his breath a little bit more, and couldn't have the coffee. He had decaf, and wouldn't you know it, the Red Sox started winning, and it was just so many changes. But the one thing that never changed was the Bible was there. And before he walked out the door, he was saying, Lord, lead me today. But he was also saying, Lord, touch Dave today. Protect him. Lord, touch Rick and Laura and Steve and Ray. Lord, give me wisdom. Hallelujah. Give my wife and I wisdom. Help me to show them and teach them. Hallelujah. The precious word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Folks, it's our responsibility, and it's a responsibility that needs to be personal and intentional. Amen. The scripture that we just read, amen. It says that the word must be in your heart. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Hallelujah. Then it's taught to your children, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Again, God didn't say delegate it to the church or leave it up to the pastor or hope they pick it up on their own. He says we're to teach them diligently, which suggests repetition over again, consistency, persistency, amen, at various times throughout the day. Whenever we'd be with Dad somewhere, amen, and somehow a truth of God's word was slipped in there somehow, and share something. We'd ask a question about something and he'd have an answer. It wasn't always in church. It wasn't always in a time of devotion, amen, but we knew he loved God and we knew he loved us. And we knew that somehow the love he connection he had with God, we could have that same connection. He was very honest about his testimony. I grew up in a preacher's home. Amen. But I backslid when I went into the army and I was away from God. He shared the story of how God brought him back. Hallelujah. I want you to know, hallelujah, you may drift away from God. I'm praying you never do. But if you do, don't be too proud to come back, because there's a God who loves you. I love you. Hallelujah. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. And we've seen that over and over and over again. You say, oh, Brother McDonald, you're just talking. No, no, no. This is scripture. Notice Psalm 78 and beginning with verse number 4. The Bible says that truth is passed down from one generation to the next. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that it was done. I'm going to tell it to the next generation. For he established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Hallelujah. The teaching and the training is passed down, amen, from parent to children to grandchildren to future generation. Every link matters. Hallelujah. And if for one reason or another, amen, maybe a link is broken, we've got a God that's able to hear our prayers. Amen. And we continue to believe. Hallelujah. You reach them with the power of your story. You teach them the power of God's word. Hallelujah. And to need to not only know the truth, but to believe the truth. Every generation. Hallelujah. Brother Greeley is 5 generations, you said, right? Sister Greeley is 4 generations. In my home, it was 6 generations as my grandchildren now. And it goes on and on and on. Hallelujah. Teaching, amen. Preaching, living, and let people know this is what God has done. Amen. This is how God answers prayer. Amen. This is how God brought us through. Hallelujah. And then we must understand that how we teach is as important as what we teach. I love what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Admonition is instruction, it's correction, it's teaching. Nurture is care, it's encouragement, it's love. And children should learn about God's truth from their parents and then feel God's love through the parents. Amen. Amen. I'm disappointed, but I love you. God, aren't you so thankful that if we ever mess up, God doesn't slap us and say, forget it, I'm going to somebody else. No. No, I don't know some of you, but I don't think any of us would be here today if that was the case. Because we're all human. Hallelujah, but he loves us. He loves us. My son, who is gone, has come home. Hallelujah. Let's give him the best robe. Let's put shoes on his feet. Let's let him get cleaned up. We're about to have a party. Hallelujah. And the Bible says the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that comes home. Oh, I'm so glad that meant me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And finally, your life is the loudest lesson. The loudest lesson. It's true when you're teaching a Bible study, because they're going to be watching and they're going to see if what you're saying is what you're living. But how much more do our children see? 2 Timothy chapter 1, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. In other words, it's not phony. It's true. It's transparent. That is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in thee also. He just didn't learn faith. Timothy just didn't acquire a knowledge of faith. But he saw it lived out in his mother and in his grandmother. Amen. How many realize that children can spot inconsistency very quickly? Amen. Oh, no, not my kids. They don't know anything. I want to just slap them. Kids, close your eyes. Whap. What are you talking about? They know. They see. If we teach them, they got to pray. But we never pray. If we motivate them to read the Bible, but they never see us open it ourselves. If we say we got to live holy, but compromise when it's convenient for us. They're listening and they're watching and they're learning. Hallelujah. To believe is to come to a place. I'll ask my wife to come up with those pictures. Is to come to a place where the words of the Bible become more than just words on a book, but become what it truly is, the living word of God. My in-laws, come up here, hon. My in-laws and my parents, I'm amazed at how much they had in common, even though my mom and dad lived in Connecticut and her folks lived in Pennsylvania. Tell us a little bit about your folks.
My dad, well, first of all, let me say there's always a beginning. You begin somewhere. And so the beginning for my father coming to the Lord was, when he met my mother. But prior to that, my father's mother died when he was 4 years old, and my father's father died when he was 6 years old. And upon his father's death, he signed papers for him and some of his siblings to be raised in a military orphanage. So no love, no tenderness, of course. So until the age of 18, when he graduated from or was out of the orphanage, he went into World War II. He was drafted. And after serving for 3 years, then he came out and met my mother, and they were married. My mother was raised as a little farm girl. And at a certain age, she then went to live with her grandmother, who was a very strict individual. And again, no kumbaya there either. But they found each other. They fell in love. And through the mercy and the goodness of God, they started a family. And upon that start of a family was a rise in them of, I need to know God. I need to find a place to worship. I need a place for our kids. And so they were invited by my father's sister to a revival in Sunbury, Pennsylvania, a tiny little church that was starting up. And my mother was like 9 months pregnant, coming to service. She said, I remember walking down the stairs because the top floor was not built yet. They were still in the basement of the building. And she was walking down the stairs, and she said, we wanted to come in so quietly, but she just about fell down the stairs. So she announced to everybody, you know, that she was coming. But they found the Lord. Their hearts, and their lives, which were not shown a lot of outside love, found the love of Jesus Christ, which drew them to him. And 9 months pregnant, my mother was baptized in Jesus' name. And we always kid my sister, she's older than I. She was the one that she was carrying at the time. And we told Cindy, you were baptized twice. You got a double blessing when my mom was baptized. But upon that union, God was so good. Of course, that was their beginning. And their beginning raised three children. I have an older sister. I'm the middle. And then my brother is the youngest. My brother became a pastor. My brother's son is now a pastor pastoring. My sister, who walked away from the Lord for a period of time, but because of prayers of a mother that never gave up, she is now serving God with all her heart, with all her soul, and just being so supportive to the ministry. And, of course, me being involved in ministry through my husband. And again, and it keeps going on. And then we had three children. And now they are all involved in ministry. My daughter is married to the pastor of Enfield Church. Our son is so involved in the Bristol Church and such a help and a support. And our youngest daughter is a licensed minister through the UPCI and involved in ministry, her and her husband. So God, in the beginning, you have a beginning, and you have no idea the influence that your children are having because of your choice of serving the Lord. They could be the next pastor. They could be a next missionary. They could be someone that is going to win the lost and bring revival to their area. So there is a beginning. And what is your beginning going to be?
Praise the Lord. Whoops, I just lost that. Did you get that? Amen. We got some small pictures. I apologize for not getting it on the screen. But love God just one day at a time. Amen. I did a quick count that of these two families, Zeke's and the McDonald's, there are 8 licensed ministers. 5 others are married ministers. 2 are not licensed but very, very involved. Amen. Pastors, a missionary, just, and you say, well, that's you. No, no, it could happen. And you can't go back and start again, but you can start from now and make a brand new end. And it doesn't have to be, well, either I'm going to teach Bible studies and win the world, or I'm going to teach my family. No, you could do it together. Hallelujah. I love what I feel here. I love what I see here. Hallelujah. This is a place, hallelujah, when your life can become entwined with the anticipation of the Word of God. Amen. And coming to pass. And if we can just live in the place of belief, amen, we're compelled. It draws us to teach home Bible studies and compels us to teach our children and grandchildren the truths of God's Word and our story of redemption. So let's stand to our feet right now. Hallelujah. Close your eyes and say, Lord, we're all on a different plane, but Lord, I want to take that first step of belief. Or Lord, I want to continue my walk of belief. Lord, lead me and guide me and help me, oh God. Lord, help me to join the text club. Help me, Lord, to be the outreach. Lord, teach me how to do a Bible study. And I'm determined I'm going to tell somebody, lead me to a hungry person. Oh, God, help me, Lord, to raise my kids, Lord, to love you and serve you. Hallelujah. I may not have been raised in the greatest of homes, but you can make a difference in my home, oh, Lord, if I believe you first. Hallelujah. Oh, would you reach out to him right now? Would you call out to him right now? He knows who you are. He knows the situation. He wants to answer the questions in your heart and mind right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who you are. Or you don't have to know all the answers, but I'm going to be what you want me to be. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I invite you to come today. If your family's here, come with them. I realize the kids are next door, but let's come together for just a few moments and say, Lord, help me to get my story down. Lord, help me to understand the truths of your word. Lord, help me to believe, oh God, as the Father said of the Son who desperately needed, oh God, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I worship you, Jesus, today. Oh, I thank you.